Okay, in this last session, and appreciate all of you hanging with us, in this last session, I want to tell you a little bit about what we do as a church. So this will be more about our classes and activities and that kind of thing. So if you have questions about any of that, this will be hopefully answer those questions. And if not, just feel free to ask. All right, here's Trinity by the Numbers. Okay. 1891 was formed as Central Presbyterian Church. In 1917, moved to Hull and Felder. Changed the name to Trinity because it was Central Presbyterian Church, and at that time, this was the outskirts of the town. This was the country, right next to the country club. And so they changed their name from Central to Trinity. In 1973, was a part of the Southern Presbyterian Church up until that time, and then helped form the PCA. 1,405 members. Here's the breakdown. Richard, 990 adults, 176 youth, 239 children. Here's our mission. What's our mission statement as an organization? Well, our mission statement is what's called the Great Commission from Matthew 28. Given to us by Jesus, which says, go therefore into all the world and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, the command in this passage is actually right here, make disciples. So our mission is to make disciples by doing three things, by going, baptizing, and teaching. So going is like our evangelism or mission. We go. We worship, baptizing, you know, bringing them into the fellowship and worship of the church by bringing them into the worship of God. And then teaching them. This is our discipleship or nurture, you know, training, development, spiritual formation, whatever you want to call it. So those are our three tasks, but the main mission is to make a disciple. What's a disciple? A disciple is someone who knows Jesus Christ as Savior and follows Him as Lord. So it's a disciple is someone who's come over the chasm, been restored to faith with God, or relationship with God, and is now starting their journey and their life together with Him. That's a disciple. It goes back to the Old Testament, when you had rabbis and disciples or teachers. And in the Old Testament, in the Jewish system, the rabbis would have a group of students that just followed them around and lived with them and were their students. And when the rabbi died, then the disciples could go out and become rabbis. Well, Jesus took that to Himself, and that's why in the Gospels He's called rabbi or teacher, because He was a rabbi. And the Christians were first called disciples. So in Acts chapter 11, it says, in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. So in other words, up until Acts chapter 11, Christians were not called Christians. They were either called disciples or they were called followers of the way. Okay, followers of the way. So we're still called disciples. And we're still called disciples because our rabbi has not died. And we never become rabbis. Our rabbi is still alive, and we're still following our rabbi, who's Jesus. We go on and make fellow disciples. Our job is to bring other people along with us as we follow Jesus together. So what's our mission? This is our mission statement. Our mission is to respond to the Great Commission by so presenting Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit that all may come to know Him as Savior and follow Him as Lord. In the fellowship of His church. That's our mission. And we do that, as I said, by going, baptizing, and teaching. So here's our church. This is sort of an organizational chart. We've got worship, which is the baptizing. Well, here's the going mission, a baptizing and teaching. Are you with me? Here's the going. That's our mission. Baptizing and teaching. Those are the three things that we do. And because we're Presbyterians, we do everything by committee. It's part of our nature. So we have committees. I mentioned these earlier. We sometimes refer to them as ministries or ministry teams or committees. But the session does not do everything. Okay, the session is up here at this level. Okay, they oversee it. But if you read Ephesians chapter 4, it's the people that do the ministry of the work of the church. So we have committees, and we have ten committees plus the diaconate. So there are 12 up here, should be. But yeah. And then, so we've got some that just really kind of provide support. Each one of these committees has at least two elders, at least one staff person, and at least one deacon. Almost all of them have lay members on the committees as well. There might be some that don't. But this is how we work, okay? This is how we do things. And each one of these is given broad areas of responsibility. So like the children's ministry right here, they are responsible for all of the children's ministries. Children's Sunday school, a nursery, vacation Bible school, their Wednesday night classes, their Sunday night classes, all of that is under their purview. And their job is to carry out that ministry. Ministry to Worship and Music does the same thing for all the worship services. This class is under this outreach, Ministry of Outreach. So Becky is the staff person that works with this group. And so the lunch and this whole thing was put together. If you visited here on a Sunday and somebody came by and you left your name and address in the visitor register, somebody came by probably and left a packet of information at your door, that was this team. Okay, so they do that. So there's a lot of different teams and a lot of different work that's going on around the church. Any questions on this? Okay, so let me tell you about, I want to talk now about stewardship, which is how you can be involved in the life and work of the church, okay? And I want to talk about your time, your talent, and your treasure. Stewardship is the individual's responsibility to manage his life and property with proper regard for God and others. It answers the question, how do I believe God is uniquely called and gifted me to carry on Christ's work in the world? So, talk about our talents, first of all. These are what are called spiritual gifts. So we believe that every believer has the Holy Spirit, and when that because they have the Holy Spirit, they have gifts and talents that they can use to help the church do its work, okay? So everybody has something to do. Now, not everybody has the same gift or same number of gifts, that kind of thing, but everybody can do something. Every believer has at least one, and therefore every believer is needed. And no believer has all the gifts, so no one can be independent. No one can say, well, I've got all the gifts, so I don't need anybody. Ephesians 4 tells us that the gifts are given to use for other people. So if you have the gift of teaching, then that gift is to be used to help others learn. And that's your gift, and that's your way that you can contribute. So there are a lot of different ways that you can use your gifts. If you don't know what your spiritual gift is, we have a couple of tools that will help point you in the right direction. There's no diagnostic. We can't do blood work and figure out what your spiritual gift is. But we can work with you, and we've got a couple of things. There's an article. Do they have the booklets? It's online, and there's a booklet with a handshake on the front. And if you find that, in the back of that booklet, there's an article by Tim Keller. It's also online called Finding Your Spiritual Gift. And we encourage you to read that first. Then there's also online, there's a link to a little questionnaire, a little inventory that will ask you things that you're interested in. It'll just walk you through a questionnaire and say, and then it'll give you the results and say, hey, it sounds like you might be interested in this. Becky will also get the results of that emailed to her, and then y'all can talk about it, and she can point you in the direction of using those spiritual gifts in a way that will help you start. It's not foolproof, but it's a place to start if you don't know. When you do know what your spiritual gift is, we want to encourage you to use that. And you can do that in a lot of different ways here at the church. There's so many different ways to do it. This is just some of the ways that people are involved. We've got ushers. We've got 108 people that are involved in ushering. Not all every Sunday, of course, but the people that hand out the bulletins and open the door for you and show you a seat. We've got 108 people that are doing that. We've got 27 people that are called servants on Sunday. They're the ones that get here and open the doors, turn on the lights, and get things going. We've even got a barista group. They're the ones that get here and make the coffee. So they get here early enough and run the coffee makers and get it going. The flowers that I mentioned to you that are broken down on Monday and taken, we've got 10 people that do that. We've got the choirs I mentioned, from children's all the way up to the adult, 170 people. Children's church was mentioned earlier. We've got 21 volunteers. We've got small group leaders, Sunday school teachers, missionary contacts. We've got receptionists, volunteer receptionists. Every day, one of our members comes, two of them. Somebody works from 8 to 12, and somebody works from 12 to 4. And they do it free of charge. They come and answer the phones and receive people when they come into the church and point them in the right direction. And that way we don't have to hire that position out. So those are just some of the different ways people use their gifts. I like to tell this story. If you don't see a place to serve, tell us, and maybe we can put you to work in a place that you do have a desire. I like to tell the story about a guy who came here and began worshiping with us, and he noticed. He said, y'all aren't on television. A lot of our older people, homebound, can't see the service, but we record it on video. So he went around to all the homebound, made sure that they had a television and a DVD player. If they didn't have one, he got it for them. He took the video recording of the service every Sunday, and this was his little ministry. He never got credit for it, never didn't have a name, he just did it. He got a video, it would make DVD copies of it, and then send it to the homebound people. And before he even did that, he went around to make sure they knew how to operate. He got the simplest DVD player he could get, you know, like one button, and made sure they knew how to work it and sent them the DVDs. And they were so appreciative to be able to see a worship service from their home church. Some of these people taught Sunday school for 40 years, and now they're homebound. They can't come to church. It's a big deal to them, and he had a heart for that. And we weren't even doing that. We weren't even thinking about that, and he made sure it happened. So if you don't see something that you want to do, let us know, because we might be able to use that. In that booklet, I think you'll also see a long sheet of paper that says Serving at Trinity, I think, at the top. Looks like that. Becky's holding it up. That booklet tells you all the different ways that you can be involved, give you some ideas, and then that little sheet of paper is like a way to sign up for it. You don't have to turn that in today, but that's just to give you some ideas. And there's some of those are marked with a little red E. That's easy entry. That means you can just show up pretty much and do that. So you don't need to go through a class. You don't need to do any kind of special training or anything like that. You know, pretty easy to just start doing those things if you're just antsy and ready to go. So think about how you can be involved. Also think about your time. Time is different than talent. Not everybody has the same talents, but everybody's got the same exact amount of time in the day. Now, everybody has different responsibilities and obligations, so you don't have as much free time. That's not what we're saying. But everybody has 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So another way that you can think about your involvement at the church is not what you do, but how you spend your time. And that's important. This does not mean you come to everything. You can't go to everything. Nobody goes to everything. Claude doesn't go to everything. I don't go to everything. Becky doesn't go to everything. What it does mean is get involved. Figure out how am I going to use my time. These are just some ideas. Commit to worship in Sunday school as a minimum. We really want y'all to do that. Just commit to Sunday school and worship as a minimum. Then, beyond that, think about how you're going to be involved, whether it's a small group, whether it's a service area. Maybe you want to take on something that's, you know, a more regular obligation, maybe something just once a year. But contributing, giving back in some way and participating is a big deal. And these are some ways that really don't involve gifts. You know, going on a short-term missions trip or taking a meal to a family in need or spending time with a friend in need, spending time with your children, helping them to memorize their memory work. Those aren't dependent upon gifts. That's just time. So your talent, your time, and then lastly, your treasures. We do want everybody to be giving. And let me say a word about this, because this is, giving is between you and the Lord. Our finances here at the church are strictly confidential. The only people that ever see financial information are our CPA, staff CPA, and our financial secretary. I never see it. Claude never sees it. None of the elders ever see it. Strictly confidential. When we say it's between you and the Lord, it's between you and the Lord. But it's between you and the Lord. So y'all need to work that out. and you're not giving to the church. You're giving to the Lord. And we feel like it's a priority. It needs to be a priority in our lives. It needs to be part of our worship, part of our praise. We do believe in giving a tenth, a tithe. We believe it's a privilege. And there's a little purple thing in your stack of stuff that says the 10 principles of Christian giving. And we just want to ask each of y'all to read through that. It's not very long. But just look at that and keep that with you. That's sort of a summary of what we believe about giving here. Let me tell you where the money goes a little bit so you'll know. We have three big funds or three big buckets: the general fund, the building fund, and the missions fund. Okay? The general fund is just what it says about, it just covers the general stuff. It's about $3.4 million. Personnel, missions, etc. This is kind of how it's broken down. We've got, you see where this says missions right here? 20%? Keep that in mind. We're going to come back to that. But the general fund covers all of these missions, ministries, worship, music, children's. It funds our Sunday school. It keeps the lights on. It just funds ministry, okay? So that's where it goes. But that 20% of missions, 20%, 20 cents of every dollar that comes into the church, into the general fund, goes over into the missions fund. And that's what we send out to the church. We give it away to benevolences, to charities, to church, other foreign missionaries. It goes into some of it's here in Montgomery. Some of it goes across to the other side of the world, to China. It goes all over the place. It's almost $1 million total. What we do is we take that 20% from the general fund, the $700,000, and then we actually have a special fundraising every February called Faith Promise, and that's how much we give away. So in 2017, we're giving away $935,000. Outside the church. Okay. So there's the building fund bucket, the missions fund bucket, and then, the general fund bucket, the missions fund bucket, and then there's the building fund. This $19 million project that we spoke about, it was completed in the summer of 2010. This is where we are. We have $2.4 million remaining in debt. But the good news is we had a capital campaign earlier this year, and we've raised $2.5 million pledged, so we have more pledges than we have debt, which is awesome. So we're in the first year of this, so hopefully over the next little over 2 years, that's going to be zero. really, really looking forward to that. So, anyway, we've already done a tour. So, all right, that's all I got. Tired of talking. Voice is getting tired. That's what I mean. My voice is getting tired. Any questions or comments or objections? Amendments? There is a there's a form in the back of your book. If you're ready to join, please fill that out. That's just sort of a membership data form. If you haven't filled one of those out, that'll let us know how to communicate with you. A couple of other things. That little yellow card. If you're not a member, once you become a member and we have all of your information, we'll know how to communicate with you. We'll send you emails. We'll have your address and mail you stuff in the mail. You'll be in the communication loop. But until you become a member, you don't have to wait until that point to get in the communication loop. So this little yellow postcard, isn't that right, Becky? The little yellow postcard, if you'll fill that out, that'll get you in the communications loop before joining. That way you can receive emails. We can have your phone number. Sometimes if there's an emergency, like if there's a hurricane coming on Sunday morning, the way that we get the word out quickly oftentimes is through what we call a phone tree. We'll call everybody. We have a computer program that calls everybody's phone. And we'll send it out. We'll send out emails. We'll send out all the other stuff, but we'll do that. So you won't be in that loop if we don't have your information. So if you want to get in that loop, we'll put you in that loop, but we're not going to automatically do that until you give us permission. Once you become a member, we figure we've got your permission. We got you then. So, and there was one more thing, Becky. Oh, the website. Go to the website. There's a Connect page on the website. There's a church app. If you just go to that Connect page, we will contact you. We're going to give you all about a week or two to mull this over. And then Becky will be in touch with y'all to see, hey, do y'all need some time, or do you want to go ahead and take the next step to join the church or what? Let's see one of those. This little sheet has all the different ways to stay connected at the church. So there's Facebook. There's all the social media stuff is on here. The website. There's a church app. It gives you the name, how to download the church app. iPod. There are podcasts. It's just everything we can think of. One of the things we noticed, people are becoming more and more mobile, obviously, and so we want you to stay connected with the church and know what's going on. We want to stay connected with you. So that's what this is about, is when you're mobile, staying connected here. One thing I will say down here at the bottom, it says Right Now Media. We have a Right Now Media is like Netflix for Christians. It's a database of over 10,000 videos, teaching, Bible studies, kids' videos. It's unbelievable. The church pays for a church-wide membership, so all the members have access to it for free. Periodically, we'll send out a way for you to subscribe. All you do is set up a username and a password, basically your email and a password, just like everything else. And you can go in and have access to all of this great teaching, okay? The people that love it the most are the ones with kids, because the kids section is just so unbelievably good. Okay, that's it.